Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Gary Callagher, Jim Ronding here from REMAX. Mr. Callagher, good afternoon. How are you today?
Well, Jim, we're in the Christmas holiday weekend. We've got the end of the year stuff going on, the Christmas, New Year's, all that type of stuff. And I don't know about you, but this time of the year, for whatever reason, I call it my sleepy time.
Yeah.
And I get kind of sleepy. I get kind of tired. I get kind of, you know, in the stupor of whatever. And then after the first of the year, boom, it's over. I wake up and I'm ready to go for a brand new year. So,
Gary,
I don't know how you're feeling, but we're that's what we're dealing with up here right now.
I was going to tell you that it sounds like you are the same as the real estate market. You know, that's what I've
kind
been telling.
Sleepy.
Yeah, that's
no
what
doubt about it.
That's what I've been telling people down here. You know, I've got some listings, and all of a sudden everything just kind of came to a halt, and not really, but probably pretty much after Thanksgiving. That's when the real estate market might get a little sleepy until the beginning of the new year. So. Interesting that you feel the same way. That's what I would say.
So. Well, I think it's, you know, you look at the MLS and you look at the daily active listings that come into the marketplace, and it's very seasonal. It happens like
right.
this every year. But it's so slow. And, you know, and collectively, you know, throughout the marketplace, not just Duluth, but you know, our local MLS encompasses,
right.
you know, Duluth, Superior, Proctor, Esco, Cloquet, Carlton, all the surrounding areas, down in northern Wisconsin or northwest Wisconsin, you know, as well. And collectively, that's a pretty big area. And when you look and you see, like, for example, yesterday, 10 new listings on the whole market.
Right.
You know, and I think in Duluth there were maybe two. So that's slow. I mean, that's just a seasonal thing, and it's understandable because everybody's in their holiday mode, and that's what's going on right now. So, but I think the big thing, and I had an interesting call late last week, and the person was calling, and they bought this property a couple of years ago, and they said, hey, we want to sell it. And I said, okay. And he said, well, what should we do? Should we put it on the market right away? And I said, no. I said, wait till after the first of the year. And it was a quick conversation. He said, okay, call me after New Year's. I'll talk to you later. And he hung up. And but really, it's not a good time. And this is just my opinion, Jim. It's not a good time right now to put a house on the market simply because everybody is – remember, when you put a house in the marketplace, you're only going to be listed as a new – property once. You only get that new listing as a property on these external platforms once. And so when the market isn't engaged actively and everybody's in a different mode, even though the property will get us to a saturation point where it's on all the platforms, people miss it and they don't see it. And so you may have it may sell, it may not matter, but I think after we get it, it's just funny how after the first of the year, things seem to perk up with everything. I don't know how you feel about that, but, you know, that's kind of what I've told people at this point. Just wait till we're done with the New Year's.
Well, so some of the listings down here, one in particular was asking, like, you know, why haven't we had more showings? And, you know, without doing a little research, I told her, I said, let me see what I can find out what the market's doing, you know, particularly, because I also thought that we would have more showings at this point. We've only been on the market for about 2 weeks. And I looked through statistical data through showing time. I don't know if you knew you can do this, but you can forecast showings or compare showings to what had been going on previously. And by my calculation, I figured that the showings were down by about 30%, you know, over what we'd call a normal month, I guess. So I found that interesting, and it kind of went a little bit before Thanksgiving and up to, I think, the day before yesterday. So, you know, it was very interesting. So, yeah, showings are definitely down here. People are more in the... I don't know if let's call it the sleepy time, you know. They're paying attention to work mostly, I think, and shopping and making sure that they're ready for the holidays. And they've put home looking on hold unless it's something that is, you know, really stunning, I would say. You know, something that fits their every little need. So, and in this, with this particular listing, I looked and there hadn't been a single showing in the entire development, which is 195 condominium units. I think there's like seven currently listing, and there hadn't been a showing on any one of them for the last 2 weeks. So I think the sleepy time for real estate is alive and well down here in Florida as well. So, but I agree with you 100%. After January 1, it's bang, here we go. So, and that's the conversation that I had with these sellers. And we're not going to pull the house off the market, but I told them, I said, you know what, we might get some showings, we might not, but definitely will after the first of the year. So total agreement.
Well, I think that's it. And you know, last winter, in my opinion, was an extremely unusual winter in the fact that we just didn't have any activity. I mean, it was extremely slow.
Right.
So I hope we don't have that type of a winter. And the previous winters before this, say the previous three or four winters prior to that, these have been very good markets for the winter time up here. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of market starts to develop after we get past the first of the year. Is it going to be active? Is it going to be busy? Is it going to be sleepy? I mean, I don't think any of us know. But based on what I think I know that I'm going through personally with work, is I feel a little bit of momentum building. And I feel like I'm receiving calls, buyers, you know, want to be active, sellers want to get ready to put properties on the market. And so I think that we're going to have a more active winter season that up in the Twin Ports than we've had over last year, for sure. But just how it relates to on the historical level, it just remains to be seen. But I'm hopeful that it'll be a little bit more active than it was last year. And looking forward to that.
Well, you know, kind of on a related subject, I had a really interesting article that I wanted to talk about that I found on U.S. News and World Report. And it's by a gal by the name of Liz Brummer Smith. And it's titled, Should I Buy a House Now or Wait Until 2024? And when she says 2024, she's talking about, you know, 6 to 8 months in. You know, she better clarifies that. But just to highlight a couple of things, the first line of this is, I think, is a great clarification. And it says, buying a house is a big decision that is personalized to you and your financial circumstances. And there's also no way to predict precisely what the market will do in the future. So, and both of those things are true. So she goes into it then saying that, you know, there are several reasons why maybe you want to buy now. And one of the reasons, first one is, by now, you need to move and you can afford it. So in other words, if you're bursting at the seams inside your house, or you, I mean, if you unfortunately have to relocate, obviously there's no other decision there but to buy or rent, but in another area. But if you can afford it, it's not a bad thing to do now. Buy now if a high interest rate doesn't scare you. This one kind of, especially with the circumstances now where the rates have kind of cooled a little bit, you know, and we're not sure where the interest rates are going to level out at, if they're going to be actually lower or not. But yeah, if the interest rate is something that you're not worried about, go ahead. Buy now if you plan to stay in the home for a long time. Now, Gary, you and I have talked about this many times. You know, if you're buying a house and it's going to be there long term, this is the perfect house. You can see you raising your kids in this house. You know, I mean, don't wait. Jump on that house and buy it. Next one here is the wait to buys. You know, wait to buy if you can't afford a median price home at today's rates. So obviously what she's saying here is maybe it's a good thing to wait if the only house that you can afford is not going to meet all of your needs and goals. You know, and I totally agree with that. And then wait to buy if you're not finding the right home. So in other words, now is the time not to settle. Right, Gary? Because there's a lot of inventory on the market. Plus, there's more inventory that's coming. And because of these rates, it's kind of given us that inventory. And so, you know, you can be choosy now. And then finally, wait to buy if you're struggling to qualify at the current rates or prices. And I mean, I think that's the final obvious one right there is, you know, if you're totally priced out of this market, the only thing you can do is wait until your circumstances change. Or if we happen to have a big a downturn in the interest rates, which personally, I don't know about you, Gary, but personally, I don't think we're going to have a big downturn. It might fluctuate a little bit, but I kind of think we're gonna settle in this area for the next year. What are your thoughts on all of those?
Well, I don't know how we're doing on time. Let me know.
Yeah, we're good.
We're running out of time.
We got about another minute, but yeah, I mean, I think most of those points are perfect.
Well, I think it's unknown what these rates are going to do. I think right now we're on a trend downward, and if you're going to wait and you choose to wait, or you're asking for our professional opinion on things, I think at the end of the day is we don't know, and
right.
You know we're always caught up in, you know, what's the here and now, what are we doing right now? But I think if you look at and you read and you do some research, you know that we're going into a timeline where these rates seem to be coming more favorable.
Right.
Now, are they going to? They've dropped over 1% in the last, you know, 5 weeks. Are they going to drop another 1%? Probably not. Are they going to stabilize in that 5.5 to 6.5 range? Maybe. Right now, they're just running for the 30-year conventional just at 6.375. But where they're going to go, we don't know. And I think your points are well taken. If you want to buy and the house meets your what you're looking for, your lifestyle, all those types of things, well, just buy it. But if you're not getting exactly what you want, you have to remember one thing, Jim. If you wait and the rest of the market's waiting, as we get towards the spring and into the spring market, if the market busts open, are you going to be in all that competition again? And so, and we've talked about this before, people have bought houses over the last 3 years and they haven't gotten what they want simply because they wanted to get a house. When the market's so active and in a frenzy, you know, you're just faced with those types of decisions. So it's just one of the things that we're going to have to watch as we get past the first of the year.
There you go. Perfect point to end this segment. Folks, you're tuned into the Twin Ports Real Estate Show, and hang in there. We will be right back. Hey, welcome back to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Jim Rondon and Gary Gallagher here from RE/MAX. I'm down here in Punta Gorda, Florida. If you're interested in the Florida real estate market, you can always get a hold of me at area code 218-348-7653. And my email address is really easy. It's just jimronding@remax.net. And Mr. Gallagher, why don't you give us your information for our folks?
Up here in the Twin Ports, I'm at 218-390-0615, licensed in both Minnesota and Wisconsin.
All right. Mr. Gallagher, you shared an interesting article with me that I think that we need to talk about. We've all heard of the name Cargill, right?
Jim, let me start it off like this. There aren't, and this is the first time in the history that I've been dealing with real estate for 30 years that the term billionaire
right
has come into play. Billionaire.
Right.
How many times do we hear that word in the Twin Ports? And how many times in the Twin Ports do we hear the word billionaire when it comes to people buying real estate?
Right, exactly.
Jim, it's not often. It's extraordinarily rare, and I think this might be a first. So the fact that there was this article that was published recently in the News Tribune about a billionaire bought and demolished 7 Park Point homes
right
in the last year. A billionaire. So the story goes on, and it turns out that this is the Cargill family, you know, which is a Minnesota, you know, company, and it's a huge company. And you know, they call it a reference that the net worth of, you know, these individuals was $5 billion.
Right.
The net worth, $5 billion. Okay. And they're buying homes down in the Park Point area, and they're tearing them down. They're tearing down. Now, they bought one that is a residence of theirs. little over a year ago, the last couple of years, I think the sale price, if I remember, was right around $2.5 million. But then they've bought several other properties, and the article goes on to say that they're overpaying above, or they're paying above market value for these properties, and then they're tearing them down. And the question comes up is, what are they going to do?
Right.
You know, what's going to happen down there?
Well, and it's obviously, it's interesting too, because it's two different sites. You know,
it's more than that. It's several sites that they purchased.
Right. No, but I'm saying contiguously, kind of connected. There's like two sections of Park Point where, I mean, one of them has three houses bundled together, if you want to say it that way. And the other one has the other four. And, you know, it's interesting that the one that has the other four, it crosses across Minnesota Avenue, you know. So they actually own on the... on the lake side, and also, maybe that's not true. Do they own on the, do they own on the other side of the lake?
The Bay side, yeah. There's a lot down there, and actually, I've been down there. I've been cruising around down there, down around 28th, 30th Lafayette Square area, down in there. If you know where the Lafayette Square, it's a playground area that's on the lake side, but there's a vacant lot, and I believe they bought it purchased on the Bay side, took a property down on that side of the road as well. But these properties, Jim, one of them's right at the S curve, and it's funny because that property that they bought, I was actually in the house that came down, and this goes back, you know, a number of years. But this was a house that was you really couldn't see it from the road as you drove down there, right off the S curve, and. You would go back down this driveway, and it was just sitting back there overlooking the lake, and it was kind of a nice place. Well, they bought that. They've got the land. It's a beautiful piece of land. But then there are some other ones down in the Lafayette Square area, you know, 30th Street down in that area. And, you know, they purchased the properties. They've torn the dwellings down. And, you know, referencing in the story that – you know, quoting from, you know, Kathy Cargill is her name, is that, you know, the places were kind of crappy. And I think that we all know, you know, we've been down on Park Point, and you go down these side streets as you go down Park Point, you know. And one of the things that's always struck me is some of these houses that come for sale, you drive down these streets, and we'll use the lakeside as the example, going down the lakeside, and there's multiple properties that are stacked in on these very short streets.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
You know, and then you go in, and I've always thought to myself, you know, because you maybe it's the last one in the chain closest to the lake. And you go in there, and you look at it, and it's like, well, you know, how do these people get to the lake? It's like, well, they got to walk right by this property here. And most of the streets, they're public access anyway, so you can. But it's just kind of I won't say a super intrusive situation, but it's like, man, I wouldn't want to live here and have people walking by my house. Who do you know what it is, you know? And people, they want to party, they want to care. So it's just, it was always something that was really strange to me. And then the density issue of these properties is another thing. There are some of these streets, the density of these houses stacked together is like unbelievable. And so, and then the other thing, Jim, is if you've been down on Park Point over the last 3 or 4 years, listen, these aren't the first people that are buying these houses, tearing down the existing structures and building new ones. It's been going on for quite some time. And you drive by, you come down right off the bridge and you get down to, like, say, 11th Street before the S curve on the lakeside, and they've popped in two or three new houses right there. And they, you know, so they're doing this. And I was personally involved in a property down in the 3500 block where the people bought it, tore the house down and built a massive structure there. And another one, there's another lot down in the 2800 block that this lot sat empty forever. And all of a sudden you go down there, boom, there's two new houses down there. And we're not hearing about that.
Right.
Well, you know, there's no uproar about that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think why this all of a sudden becomes a major story to me is just like, well, you know, people have been doing this forever. You know, why aren't you reporting on some of the new stuff that's been going on down there for quite some time? And so I, to me, Jim, I'll say this. I don't think this is a bad thing. I think this is a great thing. And I will be quite honest. If you've got a billionaire that is investing money in real estate in your community, what's the problem? I mean, seriously, yeah, what's the problem?
Exactly. I do like...
That to me tells me a couple of things. You know, these people obviously, you know, maybe don't live here full-time, obviously, but they see what's here and on that lake, and the fact that they're willing to plop their money down, buy these things, you know, I think it's, there's nothing wrong with this thing. I think this is a good thing, and I actually commend them and give them a big thumbs up or a high five and say, great, you know, do it. And then the other thing, Jim, is when you read what's going on here, you know, there's been a lot of online social media stuff about this story and people commenting on it, whatever. And there seems to be, I won't say 50-50, but it's, there's give and take on the pros and cons of all this stuff. And one of the comments, you know, people are saying, well, what are they going to build? They're going to build all these houses. We want to know what they're going to do, you know, tell us what they're going to do. You know, they're going to build these big mansions, all that type of stuff. But one of the comments came out and said, well, what if they don't do anything?
Right.
What if they're just reducing the density? What if they're just, you know, going to have green space down there? And what if? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
Interesting.
Quite frankly, yeah. It's none of my business what they're going to do. But I can tell you this, for the other things that have gone on down there recently in the past, you know, 2 to 4 years, and seeing some of the buildings that have been built or the houses that have been built down there, I mean, it's like, what's any difference? What's the difference with these people versus the other people doing this? I don't get it. You know, the fact that they've got more, obviously more money resources than other people, is that really the story? Is you got a billionaire and they want to call this out because the word billionaire creates headlines? I don't know.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, they're very, they called her, she actually called them back, and she told them that, they asked, what is she going to do with the properties, and she would not say what is planned for the properties, and threatened legal action if anything ended up in the newspaper. You know, here's a billionaire talking, right, Gary? And yeah, and no permits beyond capping the utilities and for the demolition of the properties has been filed with the city for any of those purposes. And the final one that I thought this is a billionaire talking is, you know, the homes that we bought were pieces of crap. So, you know, they needed to be torn down in her opinion. So it was interesting. And I think you're right. You know, who knows what they're going to do? You know, I always tell people, you know, if there's a building lot next to them, if they're going to buy a house, you know, I say, well, they can't build an old house, you know. So it shouldn't hurt your value of your property. And, man, if the billionaire next door moves in and they buy 3-4 houses and put them in something spectacular, then for sure that's going to help the surrounding properties. But, you know, I agree with you on a lot of points. You know, Park Point in some areas is very dense with houses right next to each other on both sides of the street. And, you know, it's kind of the old mentality of how Duluth and Superior were built, where it was going to be the next Chicago and there wasn't going to be a lot of room. And, you know, so they put things close together. And, you know, while that didn't come to fruition, the way that they built these communities certainly was done with that in mind. So it's interesting. I think it's a good thing for the Twin Ports. I mean, those people are from Minnesota. They believe in Minnesota and they're back in Minnesota. So good for them. And, you know, hey, we'll see what happens.
Well, interesting story, and we'll continue to monitor this, but right. I think this is just fascinating as far as I'm concerned that you have a billionaire, multi-billionaire,
right,
that are investing money in our community. I mean, it's, to me, it just it's there's nothing wrong with it. And so, you know, people getting their dander up about, you know, what they're going to do with it is, you know, I guess that's to be expected, but I think everybody just relax a little bit and wait to see what happens, because they're not going to do anything different than what what has been done down there over the past, you know, like I said, 2 to 4 years, with people that have been buying houses, tearing them down, and building new structures on them. It's been going on. And the fact that this is now doing it and it's getting all this attention, it's like, well, what about what's been going on, you know, over the past, you know? And so, I think it's a good thing. I like it, and exciting to see. And Park Point is a very cool area down there, so we'll see what happens.
All right, Gary, here's another interesting story. Do you remember Johnny Damon?
Oh, sure.
All right. So, I mean, he was a great baseball player for the Boston Red Sox, right? But, I mean, I think his last...
And the Yankees.
And the Yankees. Right. So he won the 2004 World Series. Well, he bought a house in a place called Windermere, Florida, right? And, I mean... Johnny Damon probably made some pretty good money as a, you know, as a baseball player. But man, he made so much money that he was able to purchase a 20,240 house on 5 acres, 20,000 square feet. It's insane. He's just put it on the market for $30 million. And I came across this article, and I was looking at this house, and I'm like, oh, my Lord in heaven. How in the world can anybody – I mean, it makes Mar-a-Lago look small to me. You know, I'm not kidding. And it includes, of course, a tennis court, a swimming pool. It's on the ocean or on an inlet. It's more than an inlet. It might be on the river that is directly with the ocean. But then they have interior pictures of this place, and oh my Lord, it has every amenity that you could ever want. It's a very interesting house. They have a sports bar in there, Gary, complete with like 10 stools. It's got bar stool, pool playing chairs. You know what those are? I can't remember what the specific name is, but when you're waiting for it to be your shot, these chairs were the chairs like Minnesota Fats sat in. You know, they recline. They're kind of the most comfortable chairs in the world. It has a bowling alley, a 2-lane bowling alley. And when you, the lanes are obviously next to each other. When you bowl, you're bowling right into a clown's mouth. I mean, this place is wild. It's a gorgeous place. It's got its own barber shop in it, right? Anyway, $30 million.
Jim, where is the Wyndham area?
I saw this. It's the East Coast, I'm pretty sure. That's the one thing that I forgot to look up. But anyway, it's insane. It's a gated community. It's on Lake Butler. So maybe it's in the middle of the state. I thought it was ocean. So, but anyway, $30 million. I looked at that and I thought, Johnny Damon was able to build a house like that? Back when the numbers that are coming out in baseball are extremely large now, but I guess they must have been extremely large back then too. And maybe the real estate prices being a lot less, but quite the thing. He's listed for sale for $30 million. I'm going to try to follow the story and see what it ends up selling for. So that's an interesting one. All right, Mr. Gallagher, we're up on a break here. So, folks, you're tuned into the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Hang in there. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Jim Ron and Gary Gallagher here from RE/MAX. I'm down in Punta Gorda, Florida. You can reach me, 218-348-7653. And Mr. Gallagher, give out your phone number, and then let's move on into another interesting article.
Up here in the Twin Ports, Jim, I'm at 218-390-0615. And hey, Jim, I just want to remind everybody, I hope they have a really great Christmas holiday weekend, and, you know, we still have no snow up here in the Twin Ports, so we're going to be dealing with, according to the weather forecast, rain. We're going to be dealing with rain for the actual Christmas day, and extraordinarily unusual. But you know what, Jim, we talked a little bit about this last week, and I'm a this isn't bothering me. I like it. But there's a lot of people out there that this is really affecting. And, you know, we have a lot of winter snow sport enthusiasts up here in the Twin Ports. You know, you're skiing, cross-country skiing, snowmobilers are massive. It's a huge thing up here.
Right.
And the people that rely on their income for snow plowing and things like that, they're really hurting this year. And they're really just sitting around twiddling their thumbs waiting and saying, wow, when are we going to get some snow? So it is an unusual winter that we're dealing with. Certainly nothing like we've experienced last year. And so, you know, we eventually will come. And the biggest fear is if we go into a sub-zero freeze and we have no snowpack, guess what?
Yeah.
The frost gets way into the ground, and that's when you start breaking your water pipes, sewer lines, all that type of stuff. And so we certainly don't want that. But the fact that we're dealing with rain as we get into, like, late December is really unusual up here. So,
well, and Gary, anyway. I'll tell you this. When I was a young man, I used to own a motorcycle. And when I owned my motorcycle and lived in the Twin Ports, I was mad all the time because, you know, even in the summer, sometimes it was just too cold to ride it. And then the months of operation, you know, were less than, you know, 60, 70 miles away, right? You know, southern Minnesota, southern Wisconsin, it seems like they get 3 weeks on each end more spring and fall than we got. So that was frustrating. And then later on in life, in my 30s and 40s, I went through and bought snowmobiles and snowmobiled with my buddies. And this was a constant thing. It seemed like 2 out of 3 years, there wasn't enough snow on the ground a lot of the winter, you know, and it was frustrating for us because you'd had to travel, you know, I don't know, 100 miles in, you know, north, maybe west, maybe wherever, in order to find snow to use. So I understand how those snowmobilers feel. It's frustrating when you own a very expensive piece of equipment and you can't use it. And I also think that that's why one of the reasons four-wheeling has become so popular, because it's just basically a 12-month out of the year sport that you can do on certain trails. So I agree totally.
Yeah, and the other thing, Jim, is we've got a big dog sled race coming up in the next 30, 40 days, the John Berger's sled dog. So hopefully we'll get some snow back to a normal state of mind for a lot of people up here. But right now we have nothing. Jim. Grant Cardone, you ever hear that name?
Yeah, we've talked about this guy before, haven't we?
Grant Cardone is a big guy. He's all over the place. Big real estate investment company called Cardone Capital.
Right.
And this was an article that was written by a gentleman. His name was Ben Verde. And this was just posted earlier this week. And Grant Cardone is a famous real estate investor.
Right, yeah, he's an internet celebrity,
and
I would say.
Well, he's a big one, and he thinks that we're going in to see the greatest real estate correction that he's ever seen.
Right.
And he believes that what the government has done with trying to curb inflation has completely destroyed the real estate market. And his quote is, and I quote, he's that the government is single-handedly killing the housing market with these interest rate hike campaigns. And, you know, he said, we've gone from one of the greatest things that's ever happened to people being able to buy a house to the exact opposite. And that that what the government done, in his opinion, has failed miserably. And what they've done is they've actually created, and they stopped the housing market. And it's unaffordable for a lot of people now to own a home. And, you know, he goes on to say that the current market is completely inhospitable for new buyers with a high interest rate. They're disincentivizing homeowners from listing their homes for sale. And that's leading to extremely low inventory, expensive loans. And although the rates have started to trend downward, that, you know, Cardone is predicting that once the interest rates come down significantly, housing prices will follow. And he says, government, get out of this housing market stuff. What you're doing, step aside and let the market correct itself. Interest rates are going to have to come down in order for pricing to come down.
Yeah,
well, that's something you don't hear often. Interest rates will have to come down in order for pricing to come down. And it goes on to say that that's actually a contradiction to what most people think.
Right.
But when the interest rates come down, mortgage applications will go up and people will start selling their homes.
Right. Yeah, and I think you're. I think what he's probably talking about is there's a lot of them that are hanging on to these houses because of their interest rate. Remember, we've said that they don't want to leave that interest rate. It's almost like, well, I don't want to leave this house, but no, I don't want to leave my mortgage. I would gladly change this mortgage into another house if I could, but impossible. The other thing that Cardone is pretty down on is the commercial market as well. You know, he thinks that that and I don't think he's alone on this one, you know, that the commercial sector is in for a huge correction. But what else does he have to say about the real estate market, the residential? Anything else?
Well, he's going on to say that the government, the Fed, is they are going to make more renters in this country in the next
right.
2 years than it has in the last 50 years.
Right.
And that they're turning this country into a nation of renters.
Yeah. And you know what? There are other people that agree with him because this is a big help to the institutional buyers. You know, the real estate investment trusts, you know, whatever it is that are getting together to buy properties to make rentals. And they're actually building rental communities now. You know, so, yeah, I think that that part of it probably may be true.
Well, it's an interesting take, and it's an interesting article, and it's whether this is true or not, who knows? It remains to be seen. But this isn't the first time we've heard this. And so, and that, then the other thing that you look at, Jim, and one of the things that we're noticing up here in the Twin Ports, actually, there's a massive amount of apartment complexes being built right now.
Yeah.
It's more than I could have ever imagined, and the influx of these units coming into the marketplace, and then what was already had built that's already online being rented, I'm starting to say to myself, man, are we going to oversaturate? What is going on? Why so many units all of a sudden? These are big projects. You know, we've got the big one going up. It's a four-story massive complex up on Arrowhead Road between Rice Lake and Swan Lake Road. And then over on South Blackman, there's another massive apartment complex going on. I know that there are some others planned. You've got the one at the old Seaway Hotel out in Lincoln Park that is underway. And then downtown, they start those units downtown adjacent to the Ascension Medical Campus. I mean, you're having several hundred
right.
units introduced in the marketplace in the next couple of years. It's massive.
Well, he,
absolutely
yeah.
massive.
And still speaking of Grant there, you know, that's also one of the big predictions. He says that rents are going to come down because we are kind of, I wouldn't say it's a tipping point, but he's saying we're getting to a level of, you know, actually maybe meeting the needs. And that itself will force rent prices to come down or to stabilize, I guess, a little bit. It's hard to disagree with that thought, you know. So in the end, more buildings going up might be good for the tenants. Maybe it's going to, the competition is going to make it a little bit easier and a little bit easier on the pocketbook, I would say, for some people. Because I know down here, the rent prices went up so high that, you know, the people who are, you know, basics, or, you know, waitresses, bartenders, things of that nature, the people that are out there taking your orders every day, you know, they got to live somewhere too. And they're being forced out. And you know, while they might work in one area, the apartment they could afford to rent is 20 miles away. You know, so that's been a hard, and they call that, it's been hard for them. They call that workforce housing. And I think those people do deserve a break. But Grant is an interesting guy. Gary, you know that he's 61? And
he doesn't look it.
He doesn't. He looks like he's 40. Yeah. But anyway, and there ain't an ounce of fat on him. But all right, we got about another minute and a half in this segment.
Jim, real quickly, talking to a buyer earlier this week and getting on the subject of higher interest rates, getting priced out of the market, this buyer's been looking for a house for a couple of years, and she's finally, she's got a job transfer that she's getting up here into the marketplace in the next couple of months. But It's tough, and they're marginal buyers, and she's really concerned about, hey, am I going to be able to find something, because this is only how much we can afford. And I had a long conversation with her, you know, about down payment money and resources and, you know, being house broke and all that type of stuff. And they were ready to go when the market was at a 3% mortgage rate. Now it's over double that, and they're like, their statement to me is like, well, we don't want to be house broke. You know, and so this is a really big thing with people, you know, and it really affected a lot of people when those rates went from 3% to where they are now. And it completely eliminated, you know, like a lot of people from the marketplace. And so the fact that that a year later, a year and a half later, they're still concerned about this, to me, you know, they don't want to rent. But what are their options? And so, you know, having those discussions with people gets to be a little bit more emotional than it was when these rates were as low as they were.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there is struggle out there for folks. All right, Gary, why don't you give out your phone number one more time before we go to break here.
218-390-0615.
And down here in Punta Gorda, Florida, 218-348-7653. And Gary and I both hope that you're enjoying this Christmas time of year, and thanks for listening to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. But we got one more segment here, so hang in there, and we will be right back. Hey, welcome back to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Jim Rondon and Gary Gallagher here from RE/MAX. Folks, we wanted to take a little time here to talk about Christmas lights and how it makes your real estate beautiful. And Gary, I don't know about you, but I enjoy taking a walk through the neighborhood down here in the evenings because it's just gorgeous, you know, and it's so much brighter than normal. And it's just a fun time of year. So, what about you? You like watching and walking through and driving by all the neighborhoods with the Christmas lights?
Well, of course. We certainly don't do it as much, you know, when the kids were younger. But
right. But
one of the things, Jim, that we deal with, you know, as real estate agents, is we go into people's houses. You know,
Yes. This
time of year, you go into people's houses and you get to see their decorations and you get to, you know, and what I call, one of the things I talk to people about when you go in a house is the feeling of the house, the vibe, you know, whatever you want to call it. And so you go in these houses and you see these decorations and you feel the warmth and you smell the cooking and you get to experience all that. And it's really a festive type of environment going into a lot of these houses, you know. And then seeing the lights in the different neighborhoods, that type of thing. So this is a very cool time of year. It's a very there's a lot of what I call energy, you know, in the houses at this time of year. And it's fun to go through the houses and see the lights. What people do, and some people really, you know, you remember Exhibition Drive up,
yes.
You know, above the Piedmont area. I mean, you could see the lights on those houses from down on the freeway, but to actually drive up there, and we used to do this every year, just drive up across Exhibition Drive because of all the lights. So the people that take the time to do this, we give a big shout out to and put their lights up because it's beautiful and it's a special time of year, and to be able to see that, I think is it's very nice that people take the time to do that.
You know, and I'll tell you another little thing that goes on down here besides showing the inside of the houses is we have a tour boat that's probably the size of the smallest Vista fleet, whatever that smallest boat is. You know, maybe it holds. I don't even know how many people, but it's a pretty good size double decker boat, but still small compared. And this boat can go up the canals, right? And these people that live on the canals, which connect to the Peace River, which then connect to the ocean, you know, they have massive boats, massive houses. And Gary, they have the most massive Christmas light displays that you can see, and they face the water. So these tour boats, every night we'll go up and down the canals and take people on tours of the Christmas lights. It's the kind of the closest thing to Bentleyville that we can get down here in Punta Gorda, Florida. But we've been on them, and man, it's just kind of fun, you know.
Yeah.
Very fun.
It's special.
Yeah, it is. So this time of year is one of my favorites. But then I also look forward to, you know, our real estate lives, which we've been saying for years, a lot of it starts at the January 1st, you know, that's when people get back into it and start looking at real estate. So, all right, Gary, we got to wrap her up here, but any final thoughts on Christmas?
Well, I just want to wish everybody a really Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, everything, you know, everybody please enjoy themselves. take care, and you know, we'll see you after the holiday weekend. We'll be back for the New Year's edition of the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. And thanks again for tuning into us for all these years. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, and I think the same. Merry Christmas to everybody, and hope you enjoy this time of year, and it's time to reflect and to be with your family, which is the perfect time of year. So thanks for tuning into the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. As long as you have, we appreciate it, and we'll be back here next week to give you some more real estate news. Have a great Christmas, everybody.